Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFVRL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest is Irina Lagunina, Associate Standards Editor and former Director and Special Projects Editor of the Russian Service here at RFVRL. Welcome, Irina. Many thanks for joining me again today.
Thank you for inviting, Steve.
All right, it's great to have you on the podcast again. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, it's been nearly 8 months since Russia launched its unprovoked invasion of Ukraine last February. That followed nearly 8 years of war in the Donbass in eastern Ukraine. There's really no sign that it will end soon, and the staggering death and destruction continue. In fact, today has been a particularly remarkable day. Russia began what looks like a major escalation this morning, targeting central Kyiv and several other cities across the country, from Lviv to Dnipro and several others, in attacks that have killed and wounded an as yet unknown number of people. It's also not known how long this particular barrage of attacks might continue. Now, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said that, quote, we are dealing with terrorists, unquote, and stated that the attacks today, mostly carried out with missiles and Iranian-built drones, targeted two things, basically, energy facilities and human beings, civilians. Russian President Vladimir Putin held a meeting of his Security Council, and he said that Russia was targeting energy and military command facilities. But as in past Russian bombardments, and actually in past wars as well, waged by Russia, many civilian areas were hit, and this is obvious from countless photos and videos that are circulating. Now, Putin suggested that the onslaught was in retaliation for what he called, or he said it was in retaliation for what he called terrorist attacks. He was clearly referring in part to the blast and fire early on Saturday that did serious damage to the Crimea Bridge, the bridge that Russia built a few years after seizing the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine, or seizing control of it. And that bridge is the only direct road and rail link between Russia and the Black Sea Peninsula of Crimea. Now, this was obviously a big blow to Russia, certainly symbolically, but also, I think, operationally to a large degree. And in terms of symbolism, Putin drove a truck across the bridge in a ceremonial partial opening in 2018. So, and now we're seeing that was this blast and fire that took down part of the bridge was on Saturday. About 48 hours later, we're seeing these massive attacks on numerous Ukrainian cities by Russia. What do you think, Irina? Are we seeing the start of a new phase in this war?
I think absolutely, Steve. And I wouldn't say that the blast on the Crimean or Kerch Bridge, as they call it in Russia, was actually a trigger. Of course not. We had several steps. We had seen several steps how Putin was preparing for this new stage of war. It started with the what they call partial, which is not partial at all, mobilization in Russia. It then continued with the appointment of the new commander of the whole operation. Sergei Suravikin was appointed by Putin directly, and we now know the face of the commander of Ukrainian war. I remind you that we didn't know before who is actually in the full command of the operations in Ukraine. There were publications like the New York Times, for example, that Putin himself was designing the course of the military operations in Ukraine and giving orders to various commanders. But now we know the face. This face actually shows that Putin decided to consolidate the operations to put some order in what is Russia doing in Russian military is doing in Ukraine, and also. You know, Sergei Suravikin is an experienced military commander. First of all, he was the commander of airspace forces in Russia, which, according to the Russian military doctrine and according to the tasks of this branch of military, is responsible for defending Russia both by conventional and by nuclear weapons. And of course, Putin is saying right now that they are defending Russia from, as you, Steve, pointed out, he said, from terrorist attacks from Ukraine. And also, Suravikin is the person who actually spent 2 terms in Syria. And the brutality of the Russian operations in Syria, or Russian war in Syria, that we saw, like destruction of Aleppo, for example, happened under his command. So this is the person that will be heading the so-called special military operations, as they say in Russia, of Kremlin in Ukraine. So that was another step of in this way of preparation for the new phase of the war. And the third major point that I would point out is, it also happened today, by the way, is the fact that they finally managed to, you know, to force the president of another country, the president, the leader of Belarus, Alexander Lukashenko, to you know, to take part in this war. It looks like Lukashenko finally agreed, because this morning he announced that due to the aggravation of the threat to Belarus, they are now deploying the so-called Union troops in Belarus. So Belarus is apparently dragged into this war completely now, not only by providing its territory for the offensive, but also providing its troops. Now, what is the growing threat? You can interpret it as you wish, and Lukashenko will interpret it as he wishes. But the fact is that they are now united troops of two countries acting together in on the territory of Belarus. So all this points out that Putin, after the defeats of the Russian army in Ukraine that we saw in the last several weeks, Putin will now try to stage the second phase of the war. And he will try to do it quickly, by the way, because, you know, it's already practically the middle of October. In November, the new offensive will be more difficult due to the weather in Russia primarily. So I think we are witnessing the new phase, Steve.
Thanks very much, Irina. That's a very, very, very informative answer. Irina, I think you... you touched on this, certainly, and I just want to ask kind of a follow-up, though. You know, one thing I saw from an analyst...
To add the data that we keep on receiving right now from Ukraine, and what I was saying, just to, you know, to support what I was saying about this, the appointment of Sergei Suravikin, as the head of the operation. We see a very consolidated attack this morning because according to Ukrainian side, the Ukrainian territory was attacked by 5 types of missiles. This is X-101, X-555. This is strategic bombers from the Caspian region. So this is aviation. This is caliber missiles from the Black Sea. And this is S-300 and Tornado from Astrakhan region, so from the land. So we see all, you know, all the types of missiles that Russia has. It's now united under in one attack, and this is actually a new element in this war as well. Steve?
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like kind of a massive, to some degree, what I think some people expected to happen from the beginning and maybe didn't happen. I guess I wanted to follow up with a question about kind of Putin's motives here. I'd seen some analysts saying today that this, you know, this kind of very concerted massive attack today is one of the points of it from Putin's perspective is to kind of reassure the hawks in Russia, the people who are in favor of the war very much so, but are upset about how it's going, Russia's losses on the battlefield, setbacks that have been quite serious, including the Crimea Bridge blast. And that he's trying to show sort of this constituency, these hawks, that you know we're still in the game. We can still hold our own and dominate in this war. And it's something that you know people I think have really started to you know to disbelieve. So that one of the main targets, or not to say targets, but one of the main points of this is to convince people in Russia that that the military and Putin himself still kind of have what it takes to pursue this war. So my question is sort of, and if Irina can hear me, whether this seems like one of the big reasons for it, or another way of putting the question is, this Putin obviously said he's retaliating against what he called terrorist attacks, including the Crimea Bridge blast. Do you think that that was actually the catalyst of this intense Russian offensive, or possibly this is a case of Putin kind of seeking a pretext for a planned escalation?
Well, Steve, there are a lot of speculations regarding the Crimea Bridge blast, and some people even say that you know it was the Russian security services who organized all this, which is of course just pure speculation. But people still remember the strange explosions of the apartment buildings in Russia in 1999 that actually served as a trigger for the Chechen war. Of course, this is a pure speculation in case of Crimean Bridge. Putin doesn't need a pretext to start the new phase of the Ukrainian war. He, of course, can use it and is probably using it right now to boost morale in Russia itself, because his order of mobilization actually, because of this order, the support of the operation shrinked, and we see it. A lot of people, or some say over 300,000 people now left Russia in order to avoid this mobilization. There was an episode when two men from Chukotka actually sailed 500 kilometers or 300 miles to Alaska to avoid mobilization. So he might use it, but he also might use it for another cause, you know, which was accepted quite seriously yesterday. Let me remind you that yesterday he met with the head of the investigative committee, Alexander Bastrykin, and sorry, Bastrykin, and Bastrykin told him that the truck that exploded on the bridge moved through several countries. And among those countries, that the countries that he mentioned were Bulgaria, Georgia, and Armenia, and two regions of Russia, which was North Caucasus, North Ossetia, sorry, and Krasnodarsky region, Krasnodar area in Russia. Bastrykin said that this terrorist attack was so-called terrorist attack was organized by Ukrainian security services with the help of some Russians and some foreigners. And I have to say that this threat was taken very seriously. For example, in Bulgaria, Bulgaria now started investigation of the truck and what it was doing in Bulgaria and where it went. There is an official state investigation right now because all political parties in Bulgaria stated that there should not be any reason left for Putin to drag Bulgaria into the military conflict. So this episode is very serious. It's serious from the point of view of you know, Putin's attitude. Crimean Bridge is his favorite baby. It was built by his friend. It was his personal project of development infrastructure between Russia and annexed Crimea. It is a very good timing for him because he can use it for boosting morale, and he can threaten with this explosion to the rest of the world. Steve?
Thanks again for that, Irina, as well. Yeah, I think quite striking, you know, his kind of mention of other countries. And that's, I mean, it's something he's been doing, I think, for decades, actually, is kind of trying to make things that are that involve Russia, and in this case, obviously, Ukraine, you know, seem as if they're being directed from abroad, from some other country, from the West. And so that is a way that I think Putin kind of increases his options, his room for maneuver in terms of what he is going to do and his kind of pretexts for it, you know, whatever people in those countries and in the West may think of it. So, okay, so that, you know, that's, yeah, it's kind of a big development in terms of the way that the Kremlin is framing this. So I'd like to, we're getting a bit short on time, but ready to answer some questions if anyone has questions, and I'd like to also apologize for the technical difficulties, but you know, please again, you can request speaker privilege or send a DM or hit the reply in this Twitter space if you want to ask a question. If nobody has any questions, we can wrap it up here. Irina, thanks very much for joining me. It's great to hear your insights about this very dramatic and very disturbing new development.
Thank you for inviting, Steve. Yes, the last. The latest information that we have is that four areas of Ukraine is actually without electricity after this attack. And this is plus to the human loss, plus to the number of injured right now, Ukrainian authorities give the figure of 64 people, but that will probably change, of course. But this being without electricity with the completely destroyed infrastructure is another angle of this attack that started this morning, Steve.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will be following it, obviously. As the situation continues. So once again, I've been speaking to Irina Lagunina, Associate Standards Editor and former Director and Director of Special Projects at the Russian Service here at RFERL. My name is Steve Gutterman, Editor for Russia, Ukraine, and Belarus in the Central Newsroom at RFERL. And as I mentioned at the start, this conversation will also be published as a podcast. You can subscribe to The Week Ahead in Russia and other RFERL podcasts on Apple, Spotify, Google, and other podcast platforms. I'll be back next Monday for another installment of The Week Ahead in Russia. I hope that we will not have as many technical difficulties, so I apologize again for those. Please keep an eye out for the next edition of my newsletter, The Week in Russia, on October 21st. Thanks for listening.